Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Fresh off a upset victory over BYU, in which UVU got the 72-65 victory in overtime. Mark Mattson, head coach of UVU, joining us on the Smart Rain guest line. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, so what's your cell phone like after a game like that? Have you been able to respond to all the text messages?
Not yet. Not yet. Probably 150 text messages. And, you know, more than anything, I'm just extremely proud of our players who, you know, they just fought and scrapped and really worked the entire game against a fantastic BYU team. I can't say enough about BYU, the season they're putting together. The job that Coach Pope is doing as a head coach there and the entire staff. And, you know, it was just one of those games where our guys just kept on making play after play after play. And it ended up going our way last night. But I'm proud of our players because this was a big win for them. It was also a big moment for the university. And, you know, UVU every year, as a university, just continues to make strides. And even from an academic perspective, UVU does not take a backseat to anybody.
So you've been a part of a lot of great sports moments back in your college days, through your NBA days, and then obviously through some of your coaching days, assistant with the Lakers and other areas. I know you were with Stanford, I think, for a year too, but where does this rank, this win and this moment, where does it rank in your coaching and playing and wins and losses? Where does this one rank for you?
Well, I just think it was a special moment. It was a special moment. Number one for our players. I mean, there were a number of our players that had parents, extended family, siblings that had flown in for this game because, you know, there's so much respect between the programs. Our players from both schools play against each other over the summer in the Powder League, which our player Blaze Neild was one of the founders of the Powder League, and it's become a hub in the summertime. And so it's for our players to be able to play in front of their families, their parents, a packed UCCU center, the student body of UVU, which was just, they rushed the court. You know, all pandemonium was breaking loose after the game. The joy could be felt in the arena. And so it was special in that sense. And for me personally, you know, my wife and daughter were up there. My daughter's 4 months old, and her bedtime is 6:30 p.m. But Hannah, my wife, decided to bring her. And so just to be able to share that with my wife and daughter meant a lot for me personally as well.
I'll bet. That's a story that you get to tell her for a long, long time for sure. I wanted to, you know, because the game, you know, the game of basketball, well, sports in general, but the game of especially college basketball, it's so much on momentum. And BYU gets the bucket near the buzzer to send the game into overtime. And when it looked like you guys may have been able to close it out in regulation. And sometimes a team has a hard time keeping their composure going into that extra period. But you guys not only held your composure, you really put your foot on the gas in the overtime. What does that say about your team?
Well, I think it just says a lot about who these players are. I think that Fardos, he turned it up a notch in overtime. I mean, he ended the game 2-for-4 from the three-point line because he works. You know, last year he was 1-for-1 from three, but he works. He puts in the time, the dedication in the gym. Blaze Neild hit an extra gear. Justin Harmon hit an extra gear in overtime. And it showed, you know, our associate head coach, Todd Phillips, He in his comments before the game, he told the guys, he said, look, don't let this game go to overtime, because if it goes to overtime, we know we're winning. And the guys made plays, and it showed.
All right, I want to know more about Fardos Amak. I want to know, and not about his on-court stuff, I just want to know more about this guy. His performance was unbelievable. Very tough guy. You can see it, competitor. But teach us more about Amak. I want to know, what makes him tick? How did he end up at UVU?
Well, Fardos Amak is, first of all, he is a professional. You know, last spring he came to us, and to be honest, we came to him. In the middle of the season, we said, hey, the plan for you is you're at the point we're putting your name in the NBA draft. And if you, you know, get assurances that you're going to be drafted where you want, then, you know, you're going with our full blessing. You know, now, the feedback he got was phenomenal. But he decided he wanted to come back. He wanted to come back to Utah Valley. And that says a lot about him. I tell people, hey, in the game of basketball, there's some players that play because they're tall. There's some players that play because the parents want them to play. Fardaz plays because he loves the game. His level of professionalism is really unlike anything I've seen in college basketball. His level of professionalism is an NBA level of professionalism, and he loves basketball.
Well, you get a guy that's 6'11", 244, and he goes out there and he ends up playing 44 minutes last night. He's only off the court for essentially a minute of that whole game. And to be able to play at that high level, at that kind of size, really shows the kind of work he's put on the behind the scenes to be able to play that kind of a game.
Well, exactly. The behind the scenes work is huge. Fardaz changed his body composition. He dropped his body fat percentage by probably 7 percentage points. He lost weight. He added lean muscle mass. The most minutes I ever played in an NBA game was 38, and I basically had to lay down in bed for 3 days after that. Fardaz has gotten himself into such phenomenal shape. You know, he eats fruits, vegetables. He'll eat a little bit of fish, beans for protein, but he cares about his nutrition. He cares about his skill training. And again, it shows on the court.
So, Coach, as you were addressing your team and getting ready for this game last night, what type of message do you take into a game against BYU? When you're UVU and BYU was ranked number 12 at the time, what kind of message did you deliver your guys to get them ready for a game like this?
Well, what I talked about, I talked about the role of the underdog. Obviously, to play against one of the top teams in the country, and BYU still is one of the top teams in the country. They've suffered some injuries. They've suffered some curveballs, and it's a testament to the job that Coach Pope and his staff and the players at BYU are doing. Richard Harwood is out. Other players have been out, and they're still competing at a high level. But even with that, the role of the underdog is a role to be cherished. And I just, when I watched the film last night, because after a game, win or lose, you can never sleep. And so you watch the film, and coaches know this, you watch the film at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, which I did last night. What showed to me was the energy, fight, and determination of every player on the court, Fardaz, and then our wing defenders were in particular something that stood out to me. Latrae Darthard, Justin Harmon, Connor Harding, Blaze Neild. I mean, the list goes on. These guys just chased and the defensive intensity, the defensive mindset against BYU wings was really high level last night in terms of the defensive effort.
How happy are you for a guy like, Connor being able to go up against his former team and come up with a win like that?
Well, I mean, look, Connor helped build BYU into where they are. Look, Connor made a decision. He wanted to explore some outside options. He went into the portal, and Connor Harding has been, ever since he set foot in our program, he has been phenomenal. One of the highest basketball IQs I've ever coached, and that includes NBA players, a multifaceted skill set. And in a way, this momentum that we've had kind of got started at Pepperdine, a win against a good Pepperdine team with Connor hitting a game-tying step-back three-pointer. And then he hit another three-pointer following it up at the start of overtime. And so, Connor has been just a spark that has been tremendous for this program, and I'm just very grateful he's in the program.
So, Coach, just I'm in an opportunity to get to know you better as a coach, are you the kind of guy that goes through film review today and you pull this up and you say, hey, I know we got a really impressive win and everybody should be excited, but we need to do this, this, and this better. Is that how you address these meetings? Or how do you address it post-game with your guys?
Well, that's a great question. So normally, I show all the I show 5 or 6 teaching things that we have to get better at. Okay, and we had those last night. We had those. But, on a win like this, that's a big win for our players, for this sports program here at Utah Valley, and also for the university. We're going to show them the things they did great, because that just really stood out on tape. We'll save the teaching stuff for, you know, tomorrow, the next day, and early next week. But our players need to enjoy this. They need to remember this moment because, you know, very few moments in sports happen like this. And our players need to enjoy this and cherish it.
Mark Madsen, head coach at UVU, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I apologize. I probably should have led with this. You are into the season. It's still just early December. That's your fourth overtime game. That's your fourth overtime win. And I love the fact that your guys have that confidence. I mean, I guess we should have probably realized that, hey, you know what? Nearly half your games this year have gone into overtime. You've won it. So you go into OT last night, you're thinking, bam, we got them right where we want them.
Well, what's been nice is that somebody different steps up in overtime every game. You know, at Long Beach State, it was Blaze Neild. Blaze Neild from Lehigh, Utah, played at USU Eastern, played at BYU. He came to us again from the portal. Blaze Neild took over that game at Long Beach State. You know, at Pepperdine, Connor Harding had a huge role. At Denver, Justin Harmon made big play after big play. You know, last night, it was by committee, but, you know, Fardos and Justin Harmon really stood out. And so Mike Montgomery, my college coach, used to always make the comment, hey, to win any game, you're going to have some individual performances from players. And we had that last night.
You were talking about BYU, and I think a lot of people can appreciate how much you respected their game. As you watched them and as you coached against them last night, did you feel like that's a team that can put things together and make a run this year?
100%. Look, BYU is a gold standard in terms of basketball. They are. I mean, their defense is phenomenal. Their defensive efficiency is phenomenal. Their offense is rates very highly. And they do it year after year after year. And so the BYU basketball program is a gold standard, not only in the state of Utah, but in the world of college basketball. And it shows. They're going to be fine. You know, they'll make some adjustments. They'll watch the tape the same way everybody watches tape, and they'll make a few adjustments. And, you know, they're going to have a lot of blowout wins this year against some really good teams.
So I know that we're still early in the season here, but you're off to a 7-1 start. I know your first year there didn't go the way you'd like in terms of win-losses. You dealt with a COVID year last year. Do you feel like you've got this program humming at the level you'd like it to be with this start this season?
You know, so far so good, but, you know, obviously in sports, you're only as good as your last game, and we have a lot of tough games coming up. You know, year one was tough because we had to bring in 9 new players, build a culture from, you know, really, when you bring in that many new players, you have to kind of rebuild a new culture. And so it was a good year. We had some good road wins. You know, last year I was proud of our guys because, you know, they won the WAC championship for the first time in probably 10 years, you know, even with COVID and guys being out. And so now to start out 7-1, we're trending in the right direction. But, look, what we've done in the past doesn't matter because the only thing that matters now is where we are today and where we go in the future. And there will be ups and downs. That's just the way sports go. And our mantra here is try to do everything we can to control what we can control. We can control free throw line box outs. We can control communication on the court, meaning when a offensive or defensive call is relayed into the game, everyone echoing the call so that there's never that fifth guy that doesn't know what we're doing. And by the way, that happens in the NBA where someone doesn't know a play because of a communication breakdown. And so, we try to control everything that is controllable.
Coach, how difficult was it for you to leave the NBA? I mean, you were in as an assistant for quite a few years, and you get the call to move from the NBA into the college level. How difficult was that for you to leave the NBA?
It was difficult because the NBA is the top league in the world. You're working with the best players. You know, when I was at the Lakers, I had the chance to coach Kobe Bryant, and then a few years later to coach LeBron James for one season. And, you know, we say as an assistant, yeah, we're coaching those guys. In a way, they're coaching us. You know, but you're really learning from some great basketball people along the way. What really stood out to me about Utah Valley University was, you know, number one, again, the academics, which doesn't take a backseat to anybody, and I mentioned that earlier. But then the basketball tradition. You know, really, Dick Hunsaker helped put this school on the map in terms of basketball. The winning record, the wins that they had when Dick was here were phenomenal. Coach Pope took that and built upon it even more and took UVU to, you know, even higher heights. And so UVU has a basketball tradition, a great basketball tradition, and tremendous community support. And so, you know, the more we looked at it, the more it became a no-brainer for Hannah and I to relocate from L.A. and to come here.
So there may be some out there that aren't familiar with the WAC and, you know, sees that you're 7-1 and you got the win over BYU, and they're thinking, well, geez, they're just going to wreck that conference. I called a game with New Mexico State earlier in the week. That team is just jam-packed with athletes. Grand Canyons, you know, they're an elite-level team as well. People that don't appreciate that WAC and that conference and how difficult that is, I mean, I know you got the conference championship last year, but my goodness, that's a good conference you play in.
Well, I'm glad you said that. it's a phenomenal conference, and it's tough. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone yesterday, and I said, look, you know, on the day of a game, the expression we have is, hey, the hay is in the barn, meaning we've prepped for BYU for 4 days. All of the work has been put in. The hay is in the barn. So you can kind of start doing a little bit of prep for other things. And so, you know, I started looking at our conference and just watching film on some of the other teams. Every style is different. You know, some of the teams in Texas deny everywhere on the court. And it is an absolute dogfight in the conference. Preparing for conference play is like studying for the most demanding final you've ever had. You study analytics. You study film. You make dozens and dozens of phone calls to other schools to try to track down the play calls of other teams. And everybody does it. It's part of the profession. You do so much due diligence, all for a 40-minute span, officiated by three professionals, and you know, there's 10 players on the court. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
How impressive it's been from multiple players stepping up in overtime. But what do you expect of your team in WAC play right now, Coach?
Well, I just know that you know, again, Derek Fisher, a Lakers teammate of mine, he used to always say, hey, what's happened in the past doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is where you are right now today and what happens in the future. And so, look, every WAC team is going to want to try to go undefeated in WAC play. That almost never happens. You know, the general manager for the Timberwolves came in at the beginning of one season in Minneapolis, and he said, hey, this is Kevin McHale. He said, I've never seen an NBA team go 82-0. You know, and so there's going to be ups and downs, you know. But still in all, we want to be in a position where we are competing for a WAC championship and where we are competing for a WAC tournament championship, which would signify the automatic NCAA bid to the NCAA tournament. That's where we want to go. And that's where the sum of all of our focus and energy is focused on that.
How much of who you are and your appreciation of the game of basketball and the lessons you learned were influenced by Kobe Bryant or some of the other great players that you played with?
Well, you know, for me, basketball starts even before that. It starts with my dad taking me outside back in Danville, California, and just saying, hey, let's play catch. And we were playing catch with the basketball. I'll never forget it. He threw the basketball. I was scared to catch it, and I caught it. You know, and so that was just so fun. And then we played one-on-one every night. And, you know, my mom was just so supportive, not only to me with basketball, but to my other siblings in what they were excited about. And so, number one, my parents were so supportive. Number two, you know, here's what Kobe taught me. Okay, I went to the NBA. I was 24 years old, and coming from the Pac-12, I didn't know what it was like to play truly, truly high stakes basketball in LA. And Kobe pushed me harder than I could have ever thought I could be pushed. At times he was hard on me, and at times I was tough. But I'm incredibly grateful. And Kobe and I had a great relationship. But the thing of it is, Kobe was harder on himself than anyone else. So I can say, yeah, there were a few times he was hard on me. Well, number one, it made me a much better player. And number two, he was harder on himself. And he had the highest standards for himself than anyone else. And so with his work ethic and with who he was as a person, if you weren't playing hard, if you weren't playing aggressive, it became an embarrassment because he set the standard so high. My man used to go leave me and double-team Kobe all the time. And Kobe would just, we'd go to the timeout, and he would say, if your man leaves, run to the rim and scream for the ball. And, you know, sometimes as a player, as a young player, you're nervous to do that. But Kobe demanded of me, and I did it. And it helped open up space so they couldn't just not guard me. And it helped our team.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Heck of a win last night. It was a great environment. The place was rocking. Keep it rolling. And let's do this again soon. This was a lot of fun.
Hey, this was fun. Really appreciate you guys having us on.
Congratulations.
You got it. Mark Mattson, yeah. Head coach at UVU, as the Wolverines pull the upset over BYU.